You ever been challenged with something and you just don't know where to begin? Like you've had a task at hand and it looks so big that you don't even know where to start. If you've ever put together a kid's play toy, you know there's 30,000 pages of instructions. Looks like a pretty daunting task, and it's a little house or something. How about at work? You ever given a task by your boss and you just look at him like he's got six heads? So what in the world are you talking about? Where do we begin with this? How about a church? God ever put you in a place you're not sure where to even start? Think about some characters or some folks in the Bible that had some pretty large tasks in front of them. Think of men like Noah. God told him, Noah, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And if I was Noah, I would probably have said, okay, God, what's a boat and what's rain? What do you mean I'm going to build a boat? How about Jonah? God said, Jonah, I've got a job for you. And Jonah said, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'm the right guy for that. And he ran. How about Paul? Think of the things that Paul endured. What if Paul ever said, whew, I don't know about all this. This is a lot. How about David? This young man, probably less than 6 foot tall, and he had to go face this killer, this giant that was 10 foot tall. But he did it. How about Jesus? We're able to see through the scripture of times when Jesus really just had to open up his heart and ask God to help him through some things. We're able to see the human side of Jesus sometimes. All these men that were given these tasks, and there are hundreds more we can think of. But God chose them specifically to do a specific task because he wanted them to carry it out. Even when they didn't feel like they were adequate enough to do so, or didn't feel like they were qualified enough to do so, God knew that they were. And God chose them specifically. How about Moses? Moses was given a pretty big task. He didn't just have to move a couple hundred people. He had to move a million plus. Can you imagine? You ever on vacation with your family, trying to get 10 people to go to dinner at the same time, right? You talk about a near impossible task. When we went to Disney several years ago with my brother and his now wife and mom and dad and the four of us, I'm like, this is impossible. We can't get ice cream at the same place, right? That was 10 of us. Moses had to move a million plus people. And was he up for the task? I don't think so. He said, no, God, you got the wrong guy again. All these situations, I guess, have a common theme or a common solution, maybe. And that is that God was with them. Even when they gave excuses, God was with them. Even when Jonah ran and jumped on the boat and then jumped in the water and was swallowed by the big fish. I mean, he did everything he could to get away from God. But yet God still used him. And Moses says, well, they're not going to listen to me. What do I say? Exodus chapter 4. Starting verse 1 says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Right there would be enough for me to be okay. I'm out. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Just a side note, I always thought interesting about this. Anybody ever grabbed a snake? Like intentionally grabbed a snake? Where do you grab it from? The head, right? Not the tail. What happens if you grab by the tail? It's going to kiss you. God said, grab it by the tail. So now you want to pick up the snake. Now I got to grab it wrong, Lord? I mean, okay. I guess you're God, but yeah. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have appeared to you. See, there's a reason God wanted Moses to do this. Moses didn't feel like he was the right man for the job. God said, no, you're the one I want. He had a rough go at it. But he said, God said, you're the one I want. Same thing with us. If we're going to serve him, this morning we talked about what it looks like to be a Christian and what we should do as Christians. If we're going to be a Christian, chances are God's going to put us in some pretty tough places. There's going to be times where we feel pretty lost at what we're supposed to do. But just like the rest of these folks, God's with us. God will provide. We have to let him help us. We have to ask him to help us. But he's going to do it. So if we're going to serve God, if we're going to dedicate our life to him, if we're going to serve God effectively, to serve him effectively depends on his presence and strength and not on my abilities. It's not what I do. It's not what you do. It's what God does. It's not us, it's him. We're the vessel. But he's given us the abilities. I think about this church here at Massillon. It's been here for decades. It's always been a strong congregation. We're blessed to, I don't know how many missionaries we serve, 20 maybe, I think it is a number. We serve a lot of, we're able to support a lot of missionaries overseas and here. I mean, we're just blessed to do a lot of things. We've got a lot of fantastic people here that worship together and work hard for the Lord, but it's not us. The Church of Christ in Massillon isn't here because of us. It's here because of God. And through the years, God has blessed those and before us, and they've blessed us with the abilities and the talents and the means to which the church here at Massillon is a strong congregation, but it's not us. If we ever begin to think it's us, that's when it's going to go downhill. When it becomes about us, that's when it's going to go downhill. We need to depend on God. We need to have him give us our strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 8, says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened, excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we have had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's Paul saying. Paul's saying we were in some bad spots. We were in some pretty tough situations. He said they didn't get out because of them. They made it because of God. You see, sometimes God's going to lead us into places that is really going to challenge our faith. It's going to put our faith to the test. It might make us feel like we can't do this. I don't belong here, or I don't have the ability to do this, or I don't deserve to do this. Or maybe we don't want to do this. But God chose us specifically. We find ourselves in tough situations not because God makes those things happen, but He does allow things to happen to us. And our faith, like the faith of Paul, that'll get us through. God will get us through. What was read in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 just a second ago, read a little different translation, it says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. He's the provider. 2 Corinthians 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Where's our confidence? Who do we believe in? Do I believe in myself? If I believe in myself, and that's it, I'm going to have some problems. I've got to believe in God. I've got to believe in Jesus. I've got to believe that they're going to carry me through when I need it. God didn't just tell those guys, hey, good luck, Noah. You're on your own. Good luck, Jonah. This is what I want you to do. Have fun. He was right there with them the whole time. He provided the tools. He provided the answers to them. He provided the way for them to carry out the mission that He called them to do. That's what He does with us. He doesn't say, okay, Masson Church, here you go. Good luck. He provides us the tools. He provides us the answers. Now we got to seek Him out. And where do the answers all come from? Comes from His Word. Which means we have to study the Word to find the answers to the test. I have to be a student of the Bible. I have to know what He's telling me. I have to know where to go to find what I need to do. I have to be able to seek it. I need to ask Him to guide me through that. But I've got to get in the Word. To serve God effectively, we have got to be ready for the difficulties of the mission before us. Think back to Moses, what he was given to do. Exodus chapter 4 and 21 says, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Now wait a minute. Why? God, why are you going to do that? You want me to go back there and talk to him, but you're not going to let... You're going to harden his heart? Well, why do you have to do that? Well, he had to do that So ultimately, the people could see the power of God. Moses said, he's not going to listen to me. God says, yeah, he will. If we're going to serve him effectively, we're going to have some difficult missions. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Nothing about Christianity is easy. Jesus never said, if you follow me, life's going to be great. Jesus never said, if you give up all the world for me and you do what I ask you to do and you follow my teachings, that life's going to be perfect. You're not going to have any problems. Jesus never said that. I venture to say the apostles, they didn't know what they were signing up for. Because they really didn't sign up for it. They were chosen. They were just going about their business, and Jesus walked up and said, hey, you're with me. Let's go. But it wasn't a cakewalk. Jesus tried to prepare them for what was going to be coming to them. We looked this morning in John 17 in the prayer that he offered up to God, asking him to help the apostles, not to take them out of this world, but to help them stay in it and to give them the tools and the guidance to succeed. And because he knew what was coming. He knew the challenges that they were going to be facing. He offers that same prayer for us, like we mentioned. He knows the challenges that we're going to have. God will provide. We have to let him. We have to want him to help us. And that means I got to get out of the way. That means I can't say, well, I can do this on my own. That means if I ask God to help me and I pray to him and I say, God, I want you to guide me, but then I don't listen to what he says, it's not going to work either. It means I've got to humble myself. It means I have to say, you know, I don't have all the answers, and I am a sinner, and I do need your help, Lord. And just as humans, sometimes it's hard to ask for help, isn't it? We don't always like to ask for help, do we? We want to try it on our own. We don't need maps, right, guys? I don't need to look that up. I know where I'm going. I don't need to ask for directions. I can get there on my own. We don't like to ask for help. We need to ask God for help. Because if I navigate this place on my own, I will absolutely be lost. I need to let God guide me. I need to humble myself. And that word is easy to say, but hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Man. I don't know it all. I don't have all the answers. I don't know the best way all the time. But I'm sure grateful that God does know it all. And that God does have the answers. And that God does know what's best for me all the time. If I'm going to serve him, I have to accept that. I have to welcome that into my heart. He's going to guide us through our challenges. He'll lead us there, but he won't leave us alone. He'll be right there with us the whole time. Even when we feel like we're alone, we're never really alone. God's right there waiting. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. there's a phrase in there, there's a word in there. It says, God shall supply all your needs. Unfortunately, sometimes what I need and what I want maybe don't always line up. Or maybe what I think I need, God says, you really don't need that. And 10 times out of 10, he's right, isn't he? It may take us a while to get there. It may take us a while to recognize that he was right, but yeah, God's always going to be right. He will supply all of our needs. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's all we need to know. If I've got God on my side, it doesn't matter what I'm facing. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter the struggles or the battles that I have. If God is with me, who can be against me? David and Goliath, right? No way David should have beat that giant. No way. If it was just the physical man David versus the physical giant Goliath, that'd have been a no-brainer. That would have not been good pay-per-view television. Fight would have been over pretty quick. But it wasn't, was it? It wasn't just David versus Goliath. Because David had God on his side. And he knew that. And he believed that with all of his heart. And he trusted that. Even when he went to the king and the king said, you can't go out there. You're not even a soldier. You're just a shepherd boy. David said, I got this weapon. I got this secret weapon that I'm going to be okay. See, when God puts us in those tough situations, he always provides the out. But it's up to us to allow it to happen. It's up to us to accept it. He's not going to force it upon us. We have to make that choice. Do I choose God? Do I choose myself? Do I listen to God when God says, pick up that snake by the tail? Or do I run? Do I listen to God when he says, I want you to go and I want you to rebuild the city? Or do I get in a boat and I try to escape God? Do I listen to God when he says, I want you to build this massive ark because it's going to rain? Or do I look at God and go, what are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. It's our choice. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to find myself in some pretty difficult situations. I'm going to find myself in places where it's not going to be easy, where I want to quit, where we want to run, where we want to give up. Think about if Jesus ran. Think about if Jesus would have quit. Think about if Jesus would have gave up and said, no, I don't want to do this. What would have happened? How different the story would have been. But he didn't do that. Jesus didn't give up. He didn't quit. We shouldn't quit on him either. Let's go to him in prayer. Our God, our Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the blessings you give us, Father. Father, we know that serving you and giving our life to you, Father, it's not going to be easy all the time. We know that Satan is going to work hard on us. Father, we also know that you will guide us and you will protect us. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. I can't help but think I hear that screaming. And I'm glad my kids are 18 and 20. That's all I'm going to say about that. God bless you guys. Ooh, she's still going. It's a choice, right? We have to make that choice. Do we choose God or do we choose ourselves? If we choose ourselves, it's going to be tough. If we choose God, it's going to be tough. But we've got God on our side. So if you're here tonight and you've not chosen God yet, you've not chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've not chosen Him to guide you through life, that's a choice you need to make this evening, just like Alana did earlier today. And if you are here tonight and you are a Christian, which I think most of us are, but you've allowed Satan to creep in and pull us apart, you need to make that relationship right with God. That opportunity is always open. And God's invitation is always open. It's not just limited to after the sermons and on Wednesday night. But if there's anything we can do for you this evening, come to the front now as we stand together and as we sing.